All right. So with that said, we will start with Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5. And I'm not even going to start reading tonight. We're going to go to the right.
Oh, look at you.
The rule on the turtle, if you don't want to read, just pass the turtle to the next person. Okay?
The Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished.
All right. So what is that? What does that talk about? What is it meaning? Chapter 16, verse 5.
There is virgins in the heart is abomination.
Mine says, everyone with a proud heart is detestable to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished.
Okay.
Mine says, everyone who is arrogant in the heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished.
Mm, I like that. Arrogance of the heart.
I'm going to guess God doesn't like pride.
No? I think pride is on the list, right? So what categories can we assign this particular proverb to?
Pride.
So that's down on row number 6. And just write down the verse number next to it, 5. There you go.
He uses some pretty strong words.
Detestable.
Detestable, abomination. Somebody else had another one.
Definitely something God doesn't approve of.
And I think we can slip into it. Go ahead.
Offensive.
Offensive, yeah.
Did you mark under evil and death?
Yeah, our pride's prideful heart lends to what comes out of our mouth. Uh-huh. Okay, so verse 6.
Okay, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided.
Okay, so what are we talking about here? What does that word atoned for? What does that word mean?
To pay for your evil.
To be paid for.
Because we have to turn from evil.
Right, we have to avoid that, turn around.
Very profound verse where I feel like a lot of the other verses are this and that. And this kind of gives a, you know, a who, what, when, where, why to it, you know, that we're receiving mercy and truth. You know, that causes us to be removed from our sin, but we can only get that from hearing the Lord. There's a lot of levels in this one verse.
So read it out of the King James. I'd like to hear what the King James, that's what that is.
Says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil.
Okay. And the only reason why I asked for it to be read in a different version, because sometimes a different version kind of gets it right to the point, right? I like how it states exactly how it happens. The NIV does also. That's what mine is, the NIV. And it says that, you know, through faithfulness and love, sin is atoned for, but the King James kind of shoots an arrow right through the middle of it, right? Grace and mercy.
The Amplified says, by mercy and loving kindness and truth, and then parentheses, not superficial ritual, wickedness is cleansed from the heart. Because back, of course, in the old days, they didn't have a lot of rituals. You did.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not. You don't get rid of your sin that way.
Right. Isn't it amazing that, you know, again, the background to the book of Proverbs is King Solomon wrote this, and then he had all of these wise sayings because, you know, he asked God for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And we've had this recorded, 3,000 things that he has said. But, yes, isn't it amazing that it even in Solomon's day, he was pointing out that we don't do it through rituals. We do this because it is faith and love. So what categories would we assign this to? It almost sounds like we're reading something from the New Testament when we read that, don't it? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of amazing? It's not an Old Testament language.
I like a lot of the things under five, God's guidance. I feel like a lot of those.
Oh, yeah.
Fit this.
So faithfulness.
Yeah. Commitment. Faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Commitment. What else did you put under there?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Truth, salvation. It's on the right hand side of that.
Oh,
yeah.
I forgot. Commitment.
I like that you called out salvation because in my notes it talks about the atonement for the covering of sin.
Mm-hmm. That is
salvation.
That is salvation through and through, isn't it?
Mercy and grace.
Yeah.
In section 7.
Yeah, so if you're reading from the King James, you actually get down on the bottom in section 7, you can put this verse in with mercy, grace, and even honor. Okay, verse 7.
When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
When a man's ways pleases the Lord.
Maybe like if you like live through God, then he'll kind of like give you more peace and like how you wrote it out. But it gives you peace with like your enemies.
So a real world example in school, you have a relationship with God. If you're walking with God, that's going to create enemies. They're going to make fun of you, right? But at the same time, you can have a peace that comes over you, and you can be peaceful when you speak to them, right? Because you know that you're walking with truth. And no matter what they say, you have the ability to be at peace with what they're saying, right? You can be. It's hard, right?
Yeah.
But when we're following God, it's a lot easier.
I guess that self-control.
Self-control. Yeah, that's a good category for this one.
I think another one.
Contentment. Contentment.
Contentment, yeah.
Yeah.
Peace is all there.
Peace, yes.
I think we have to remember that we need to make sure that, you know, especially with that first part of the verse, when a man's ways please the Lord, we often come up with ideas of what that should look like on our own and not necessarily what God's word says. So
yeah,
we have to be careful, you know, that if we're doing it by our own rules, it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And that's why we kind of, I wrote down the word. So in section 4, there's the word path. The idea that we're walking this path with Christ. If we're walking with, or we have a relationship with God and Jesus, then those things can happen. But if we're creating the rules ourselves and thinking that, well, I'm good enough, you know, it's a God way of doing things-ish, like, sort of, that really isn't going to work out, right?
What about instruction?
Yeah, it would be instruction.
Yeah, I was thinking about counsel, too, because he says what pleases him has righteousness, but the enemies were, like, trying to go after you.
Yeah.
That's what I think about, like, counsel and instruction.
Yeah, good.
I think you need to remember, too, forgiveness. Things like these are generalities. It's not always going to be that way.
No.
I mean, there are some few times you're going to have an enemy, and they're going to be your enemy.
Yeah, that is going to happen.
It's just a... It's a general thing here.
Yeah, it's not absolute that you'll never have an enemy. I mean, look in the world.
Right.
Right? We only have that to be our guidepost there. There are plenty of enemies in the world.
I think this could be taking in the context of, like, winning new believers, you know, that our actions and how we carry ourselves, you know, even those who... hey, Christians, you're going to realize that there's something different about you, and then they're going to realize that, oh, it is the fact that you're a Christian is what makes you different and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So would you put that under the category of influence? Yeah, we could add that one as well.
Yeah.
That's in section 4. All right, verse 8.
Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice.
Mm. We've had verses like this. So what's it talking about?
Better than the... I think it's to deal with
better to try to walk with God.
Yeah. What Billy said.
At least try.
Yeah. Better to try. Better to walk with God.
Better to try than not at all.
Yeah. It could also be in a financial realm. It's. So I can remember when Crystal and I were, we just got married. We made $400 a month. To say that we had little would be an understatement, right?
Right.
Living on $400 a month was pretty tight. And, but our relationship and our relationship with God was a whole lot closer. When we became more financially stable, we started getting away from some of those nighttime prayers and reading and trusting God and holding on to every hope. And I know that, you know, God is faithful. He's going to provide the meal the next day. You know, we're going to eat for a dollar today and we're going to eat for a dollar tomorrow. But then we started making some more money, and all of a sudden we started walking away from that trust in God, that holding on to and walking with Him. Because why?
The worry wasn't there.
The worry wasn't there. The anxiety wasn't there. The immediate requirement wasn't there. And so, do what? Yeah, our pride got in the way of what we had and how it was going to work. So, there were times when we would look back and go, man, I'd really like... I don't want to go back to only making $400 a month. But it sure was a lot more refreshing back then, because we didn't have the responsibilities. We didn't make the mistakes or the things, right? We kept a closer walk with God. That's kind of what this is talking about, to me. This is the way I see this.
That was a whole lot of money in the 50s.
Unfortunately, it was 1992, okay. And it was not a lot of money.
I think that, you know, again, I guess applying it to a, like making new believers in a sense, like it's almost better to, or like any conversation, you know, I think sometimes we're afraid to go, you know, two steps too far and whatnot, and so we ended up just being like, oh, I said Jesus 14 times today in conversation, instead of actually being, like, having critical conversations with people, and, because you're not going to win very many followers by just, you know, being pretty, just sprinkling it in here and there.
Yeah. So what categories would you assign verse 8 to? Mm-hmm. Righteousness?
Money.
Talking about pride.
Pride? That's good. One of the words that is also in that same section is illusion. All right, verse 9.
In your hearts, you plan that course, but the Lord establishes their steps.
Okay.
I think this is, as a critical over-planner and over-analyzer, this is my least favorite verse.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all under humility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's one of the verses that smacks you in the face that you want to get this done on your way. When you look back, you go, oh, I gotta do it this way.
Yeah, gotta do it God's way.
We don't like interruptions in our plan when God's like, ah, wait a minute.
You might think you've got it figured out. You'll change your mind.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yes.
You look no further than when you have to change a diaper.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Trying to change a kid's diaper.
Yeah, but seriously, you can make a guess. I'm not stating why.
It's like the wind.
The diaper rules.
Yeah, I tried to change the diaper, but I put duct tape on it first time. I didn't want to change the diaper.
Built in, never mind.
I think, going back to that, I think sometimes when we don't like the interruption, but when we don't see the why behind, or wait a minute, what is going on? This is totally throwing me off of my plan. You know, we can get very frustrated very quickly, and sometimes that's God protecting us, sometimes he's just going, you know, are you going to trust me, you know? So I think it's
everything happens for a reason.
So
we don't always know why, but there's some reason behind it.
Yep.
I think it's mentioned in Psalms, what is it, our walk by faith, not by sight.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what categories would we assign verse 8?
Nine.
Verse 9. We already did 8. Let's do verse 9. What categories are we going to assign that?
Humility.
Wise God.
Yes, humility. I like that one.
Shame. Can you pass that down?
What did you just... What was yours, Dave?
A wise God.
Wise God, yeah. I like that too.
Wise.
I was going to say plans.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness. Just staying faithful to him.
You said humility. Yeah.
Course and path.
Path. Yeah. Definitely. What about our heart?
Yes.
That's one of those new categories. What does it mean when we're talking about the heart?
Feelings.
Hmm?
Your feelings.
Your feelings.
I think from the heart of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because if you have the, it's just like David when he went after God's heart. That's feelings. The Lord wants you for him to go after his heart.
Yeah.
That's what he's telling him in this verse.
Very good. All right. Verse 10. With the frowny face.
A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment.
Okay. Can you read that one more time, please?
Sorry. King James Version.
Yeah. That's okay.
A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment.
Okay. So let's ask this. Do we have another translation? What's the Amplified? Go ahead.
I have a different translation. All right. It says, an oracle is on the lips of a king, and his mouth does not sin in judgment.
Okay.
The Amplified Version has, a divine decision is on the lips of the king. His mouth should not be unfaithful or unjust in judgment.
Okay. So, do we need others? Other? Go ahead.
Well, I'll pull up an NLT on the phone. The king speaks with divine wisdom. He must never judge unfairly.
Okay.
I have to say I appreciate all these other versions because mine says divination is on the lips of the king. So those other words.
Divination.
Yeah, divination. That was, yeah, very helpful because mm-hmm. Okay.
So mine has a comment and it says the phrase refers to judicial decisions made by the king. Because the nation rested in the king's hand, his first responsibility was to obey God. So it's really talking about, in our case, president, or kings, or whatever, in this case, kings, their responsibility was to obey God himself, and then the nation would follow.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really happen in our case, but back then,
right. The counsel there is follow, right? Follow what God wants first. Other thoughts? We got it licked. What categories would you assign it to then?
Ooh. Tough one.
Mm-hmm. Influence.
Influence. Very good.
What about human speech?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where else could this go?
Wise God.
Wise God.
Following God. Yeah.
I never heard you talking this until now.
How about instruction? And then also in one of these new categories on the side is discernment.
You mean on the part of the king?
Yeah. Discernment on the part of the king, part of the leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this can be applied to not just government, but when we are in a role of leadership, one of the things that we want to do is make sure we're watching out what God wants first, and then all everything else is able to be managed from there, right?
You have to ask them the question. You would thought that. Tell her I say hi when you talk to her.
All right, so verse 11.
Okay. A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are in his words.
Mm. So first of all, why is this even there? How did they used to weigh out things before? And we still do, sort of.
Are these weights added weights?
Where do you see this picture still? I always, is it courtrooms that you normally see the weights?
And normally you see the justice scales. Scales of justice.
Oh, that kind of weights.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't back then as well, like during biblical times, they would weigh money as well for currency?
Yep. Or they would give you a certain amount of, so like say you go to the deli and you say, I want a pound of ham. Right?
They throw their gold in one side and then they put weights in it and that's how you turn the gold and stuff too.
Yeah. Same thing with medicine when they made their powders, they did the same thing.
Yeah.
Is it just like when you go to a grocery store and you want to see how much weight of an apple is and put on a weighing scale?
Yep, that's it.
Now, when I first saw weights, I thought I was talking like working out.
Oh,
weights.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, how do we read it again?
Proverbs working out.
Yeah. Yeah, my father was working out.
So yeah, justice, the scales of justice, weighing good and evil, all of those things. God's balance is absolutely true, right? He has the weights in the bag, and he sets them on the scale. They weigh exactly what they say they weigh. They weigh a pound. They weigh this. They weigh that. Right.
It's a culture thing too, just to say. It costs what it costs, you know what I mean? Like, it's a trustworthy thing. I'm not trying to swindle you and paying more than what I should.
Right.
Like the public admission from Target saying, we will stop overpricing things. Sorry about that, folks. Bring it back down for you. Like, that's a good thing. They changed, but it also makes it really clear they were poking the bear a little too much.
Right. Yeah. So what categories can we assign verse 11?
Well, I guess we'll use, what does it mean by, like, the second part of the verse, all the weights of the bag are his work?
Yeah.
Mine says concern.
Mine.
All the weights of his bag are his concern?
Yeah.
The weights of your sins?
Well, no, it's pretty literal to say it's... If it's honest, then it belongs to God. If you get what you're paying for, we talked about car salesmen this morning in Bible study, and you don't always get what you pay for. You got to pay extra if you want to pay what you paid for. No,
right?
It doesn't work out. Yeah. So I think that's really it's trying to be as literal as possible to say this is a culture that expects the weights and the balances and how you. Get what you pay for fairly. It's hard to even say the word because of all the stuff that comes with it, but equity, even that, if there is a work environment where everyone has a fair shot, there's no nepotism or fill in the blank other thing in the room, tip in the scale somebody else's way, that's a place of justice. That's a place you want to work. That's a place you can work for in good conscience.
Keep your fingers off the scale.
Yeah.
Add on a little piece to make it way more.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I weighed the whole thing.
Darn, does that mean I can't put my toe on the scale when Tim's... Sorry, I told
myself. Is there justice in your household?
I think I just lost 10 pounds.
You thought she was whispering sweet things to you.
I did. I thought she was whispering to me.
Deception.
So categories that we can assign this to?
Truth and honor.
Truth. Very good. Honor.
What about good life and evil and death?
Because we need to speak truthfully. Yeah, our speech.
I put it in righteous.
Yeah, very good. All right. So verses 12 through 15 kind of all go together, although independent. They kind of all run in the same theme. So if we could read those, are you willing to do at least the first two, or you want to do all four of them?
It's up to you.
All right. Do all four of them, and then we'll talk about them.
It is repulsive to God and man for kings to behave wickedly, for a throne is established on righteousness. Righteous lips are a delight of kings, are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. The wrath of a king is like a messenger of death, but a wise man will appease it. And the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud, bringing him spring rain.
Okay. So the idea is there's a progression with this conversation with the king, right? So as we look at these four verses, you can take them one at a time, and we can talk about them as a whole. But what are these actually talking about?
The king's actions is what he's taken responsibility for, what he's known for, his influence.
Yeah. The leader doesn't like wrongdoing, right? Detests it, he says. Because he's trying to establish his throne on principle, on righteousness.
When you go back to 1 and 2 Kings, it always says, so and so became king, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Or he did good, but almost bombed it back.
Yeah.
All visible, dude. Most
right?
I think it has a great contrast, you know, that righteous lips are a delight to the king. But on the opposite side, you know, nobody wants the king's wrath.
Right. So I guess, in looking at this, 12 and 13 kind of go together. They're actually one complete thought about doing something wrong and contrasting that with the thought of what does he like. I don't like people doing something wrong in my environment. I'm trying to build my throne on righteousness. But at the same time, I do like people who tell me the truth, speak truthfully and are honest. I take great pride or pleasure. The word is pleasure. I take pleasure in that, right? So let's take 12 and 13 as a couplet, I guess.
Are you going for the same thing for 14 and 15?
Yes, they would be also coming together. I put them all four together because they're talking about the king and how he behaves, right?
Yeah.
But 12 and 13, the wrong and lying and truthfulness, and then in 14 and 15, it would be, you know, what he's angry about, what causes people to die, and how he's trying to be just, and how he shows favor, right? They also contrast one another. So what categories would we assign these? And we can say 12 and 13, 14, 15.
12 and 13, lying.
Lying.
But 12 and 15, truth.
12 through 13, truth.
12 and 13, truth.
Yeah.
And then they'll put under righteousness, wrong, too.
Okay. Righteousness.
And then what about lips?
Yeah. For the first two?
Yeah, for the first two.
12 and 13. What comes out of our lips? Mm-hmm. What about 13 and 14?
Oh. 14 and 15.
Or 14 and 15, yes.
Yeah, life and death there.
Yep. 14:15. Anything else? Righteous, 12 and 13 under righteous.
I did too.
Yeah. Good. So when it says the king's face brightens, it means life.
Probably yours.
Right? So, what does that imply?
Maybe that, like, I don't know, like, when you're at work and you do something good, your manager or somebody above you approves of it, that it's just so affirming in what you're doing, mm-hmm. versus nothing with lower doing, but it's somebody of authority saying you've done good.
Yeah, there's that. What causes someone's face to just brighten up?
If they, like, accomplish something. So, like, oh, it could be if they're, like, in a really good mood.
Ah, a mood.
Mm-hmm. Mood.
So do we have anything over on that right-hand
joy.
Side?
Joy.
There you are.
Like, if they joy.
When the king finds joy, his face brightens up, doesn't it? All right, verse 16.
How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver?
What is that talking about?
Better to get guidance.
Guidance?
Than money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Money's not everything.
Money is not everything.
Solomon chose wisdom, though.
Mm-hmm.
When God asked him what he wanted.
Yep, Solomon chose wisdom. And what happened?
He got more
he
than
was
he
blessed.
Ever dreamed.
Yep.
And wealth.
Yep. Do what?
More wisdom and wealth to boot.
Yes. It says wisdom is better than gold. Have you ever been in a situation where that would hold true?
Huh?
You ever been in a situation where you would, where you've experienced that? Being more wise than wealthy?
I don't know if I've ever been in it, but you always see, like, the, you know, you win the lottery and they wind up poor, like, a year later kind of a situation.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that. So what categories would you assign this to? Verse 16.
You gotta save money.
Money, money, money. Would you also assign it to wise? Very top one.
Mm-hmm.
First one. Being wise.
Joy.
Joy.
I think you could even put it under self-control.
Mm. Why would you say that?
You can very easily get sidetracked in thinking that, oh, I didn't get what I deserved. You know, or that person got something that they didn't deserve because they weren't choosing wisdom, you know. And it takes a lot of self-control to look at a situation and think through it. Okay, what does God's word say about the situation? Instead of just, you know, flying off the handle in your mind and having all of these selfish thoughts, mm-hmm. you know. So I think it's very, it takes self-control to go, to stop and look at it and go, okay, how does God look at this
right.
type of situation?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I'm the kind of person that doesn't like calling off work, like for being sick. That takes a whole lot of wisdom or self-control to say, you know what would be better than money right now? Not being sick for the next week because I pushed myself too hard.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So obedience.
Mm-hmm. Obedience. Yeah. There you go.
That's a good one.
Goes right along with that.
Yep. Okay.
So for those who haven't seen this sheet before, we laid out early on in chapters 1 through 9 that seeking wisdom is equivalent at the top. It's the fear of the Lord plus knowledge, and adding to that understanding, we get wisdom. And then we use that mathematical thing called substitution, and we said wisdom is like a relationship with Jesus. And the fear of the Lord is accepting God's gift. Knowledge is embracing truth. And understanding is living obediently. And when we take these replacements and we come over here to verse 16, we say, how much better to get a relationship with Jesus than gold? To choose living obediently rather than having silver. Right? It's kind of neat how God's word just kind of plays in all the categories. So verse 17, who's next?
Me.
Yep.
The highway of the upright turns away and departs from evil. He who guards his way protects his life.
Okay. So what are we talking about here?
Your way of life.
Your way of life.
There's a highway, yes, somebody once said.
Or your habits.
Your habits?
Yeah.
Your behaviors? A big word today is identification, how I identify. Right? And who are the upright? Church answer.
Righteous.
What?
Righteous.
The righteous. The believers.
Mm-hmm.
Church answer.
I think that I find it very interesting that it says to depart from evil almost as if it's like it's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and then, you know, keeping his way, he could have put that 20 other different ways, but instead he's like, you're going to have to depart from evil. So that's, you know, you're going to actively do that all the time, and you're going to be working to keep your way. So I think that's a...
Honor and integrity.
Honor and integrity, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, as you're pointing out, avoiding evil, it doesn't say that it's not going to be there. It means that we have to avoid it. We have to step away from it, depart from it, right? We can never get away from it. It's where we are all the time. There's always another choice. But when we guard ourselves, we guard our soul. What does that mean?
Once you're picking up here, pure. You're, you know, you're not running into those temptations or those sins. You know, you're actively striving and running towards the Lord for what's, you know, good for your soul.
Mm-hmm. Good. So what categories can we apply this to as we want to go back at another time and on our own and do this research? What?
Gentleness.
Gentleness.
Self-control.
Self-control.
Humans, I found
it. You actually path.
Path.
I even put it on evil because it's giving us instruction about evil.
There you go.
Compassionate.
Compassion? Mm-hmm. In the sense that God provides a way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Compassionate in that God provides a way.
Fight evil with kindness.
Kindness. These Bible studies are starting to get deep.
Well, that's better than dark.
Yeah, better than dark. I think I'm going to stop praying for learning something. All right, verse 18. Go ahead.
Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall.
Oh, what does that mean?
Pride comes.
I can tell you.
All right. Tell us.
We're all ears.
Oh, it's just a little funny thing. My husband and I were walking somewhere in the woods on some park or something, and it was kind of downhill and a little bit wet, and I said, watch your step, and he's like, oh, I'm sure of my footing, and the next thing, you
found it. quite literal.
Pride before the fall.
That's literally. Funny.
That's good.
In other words, arrogance.
Arrogance. We can all be that way, can't we?
Yes. Oh yeah.
We can all be full of pride.
Yeah. Especially when we drive. Be arrogant, yeah. And then all of a sudden you get slapped in the face.
Yeah.
Sometimes be arrogant. Literally.
Yep.
So you shouldn't always throw caution to the wind. Is that what you're saying?
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't write that down.
So what does it mean to have a haughty spirit?
Mine says arrogant.
Arrogant spirit. Okay.
Not showing humility, always putting yourself first before others.
There you go.
So I think it's arrogance is...
yeah, it's always about what you want.
What you want.
Not considering other people's feelings.
Yeah, yeah. Being selfish.
You don't got that humility. You don't got what... I think Jesus talks about arrogance in Matthew and one parable where this rich person goes up to Jesus and says, look, I did everything I can to get into heaven. And he looks at him and says, no, you didn't. I want you to give everything you got to the poor. And then he just walked away. So I think Jesus was telling him about how arrogant he was.
Very good.
So. That's good, yeah. Are you like in a summer Matthew Bible study? That's like three Matthew references tonight.
I'm sorry, I've just been reading Matthew.
Well, keep it up, man. You're going to teach somebody something, okay?
So what categories would we assign... I almost said Matthew 18. What categories will we assign Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18? I'll pick the first one. Pride. There you go. Shannon beat me. Pride. Very good.
I went ahead and put humility. Humility. The verses show us how important humility really is.
Very good. Anyone else? Something different? Just checking. All right. How about verse 19?
Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
Mm. So what is that saying? I think we've kind of addressed it a couple times tonight.
Better to be kind.
Mm-hmm. Kind.
Kindness.
Be humble.
It's okay not to be going along with the part of the crowd that is dividing spoils and, you know, being haughty and proud.
Back when I was in school, there was the popular kids, the not-so-popular kids, the nerds, the geeks, the stoners, the things, right? That's kind of what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be humble and hang around with the people that aren't quite so popular, right? It's okay.
It's okay. Because you're showing them kindness, you're showing them, hey, I do care about you.
Yeah.
Because when I went to school, half the popular kids were kind of jerks that put themselves first and stuff. They didn't really care about you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to be separate from the crowd when it's hard to let your light shine for Christ when you're going along with people who are being rude or proud or arrogant. Your light kind of gets dim.
Well, the second part of it too, almost speaking of that plunder, whatever the gold or the treasure might be that they have, it's almost like something in it is soiled or devalued. Because of their pride, they're sore losers, yes, but they're also sore winners.
Right,
and they make it as if they didn't win.
Yeah,
that's sometimes their attitude.
Yeah. So, verse 19. Where would we assign this category?
Pride.
Pride.
And then I put kindness.
Ooh, kindness.
Love.
Love. Kind of doing the opposites here.
Kind of go to contentment under God's guidance.
There you go.
Ooh.
I like that.
I like that
one. All right, our last verse for the evening, verse 20, it says, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord.
Joy. I think I want to go from gift from God.
Oh, wow. That's good. Gift from God.
Patience.
Patience. Instruction. Oh, that's a good one. I like that one.
What about firm foundation?
Do what?
What about firm foundation?
You could make the argument that if the instruction is based on the firm foundation of God's principles? Yes, absolutely.
I put it in goodness.
Do what?
I put it in goodness.
Goodness?
Counsel?
No. Counsel? So, as you look at your sheet of paper, what kind of sticks out tonight as to what the bulk of what we've been talking about? We're not through the chapter yet. We're only, you know, there's 33 verses, so we're a little over halfway. Kind of where are we, where does this chapter seem to be falling right now?
God's guidance.
Yeah.
Righteousness.
God's guidance.
Trusting in the Lord.
Getting wisdom.
Speech.
Yeah.
The heart of God and man. Or the difference of heart.
Good. So what can we take away today to work on this week as we look at these? I know this is sometimes personal, but in general, let's say that. Maybe not something you're going to work on, but maybe we can all work on together. How about that?
Patience.
Yeah. Patience. Humility. Humility seemed to come up a lot this week, didn't it?
It did.
The idea of pride and humility, joy.
Patience.
Yeah, patience. Well, we do thank you for being here this evening. And like I said, we will meet next week. We will not meet the week of Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's. Other than that, we'll meet. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Pastor, you will close?
Yeah, I will. Dear God, we love you and thank you for your word. And I pray that you would give us at least one proverb this week that we can keep with us, carry with us, and bring more of your wisdom, your guidance into our life, that we might more honor you and worship you with every step of our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen.